trust in you. I'll trust in you. I'll trust in you. When we don't have answers, when we think that our state will always remain the same, when we think that all hope is lost, you are the God who checks on us, mobilizes forces for our good, the God of the turnaround. Lord, oh God, it is to you that we place the entirety of our trust, recognizing, oh God, that you know us. Even as we seek for you, you seek for us. You're the God who leaves the 99 and seeks for the lost sheep. But there's nothing that you seek that you do not find. So, Father, today we thank you that you are the God who has located us, you found us, and you're doing a new thing in us and with us for your glory and honor. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good to see your wonderful faces. This wonderful day that the Lord God Almighty has made. This is the most I've seen inside the sanctuary for a long time. And thank God for that. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. I was wondering if I was going to make it here this evening because I walked out of my house and my keys were inside the house. Oh my, Mama is not home. She's taking care of some things. The Lord granted me wisdom. Thank God for apps. the app helped me out today. And so finally I made it in. Thank God for his grace. God is never late. The message I have placed on my heart today for us comes from a passage of scripture that I will never forget. I believe possibly it might have been the first time I preached from this particular passage. Mama and I had been talking to the Lord about certain things that we saw in the black community globally. And we wondered, what is wrong with black folks? Africa, what's wrong with Africa? Why do we have the problems we have in Africa? We cried out to the Lord. Thank God, God is not silent. He spoke. He spoke to me, he spoke to Mama. He said, the issue with Africa is slavery. I said, slavery? I don't get it. What do you mean the issue with Africa is slavery? He said, the issue is in Africa is slavery. He said, when people in the continent were enslaved, it was not just an issue of white men, whether they be from Britain or from Portugal or from France, invading the nation or the continent and taking the sons. He said, your fathers, your kings, your chiefs cooperated. They sold. They handed over their sons, and as long as you keep on blaming the white man for all of your problems, you will stay limited in that place. It says, because your fathers dropped you. About that time, that was in 2000. I was going to be speaking in the country of Kenya. A friend of mine had invited me to come there to do a conference. And we're meeting in the main conference center in Nairobi, Kenya. And while I was heading down there, the Lord said to me, when you get there, I want you to preach from this passage. I said, okay, I will do so. He said, and there are going to be some black Americans that are going to be coming there. And I don't want you to invite them to any of your sessions. I said, okay. So I arrived there, and sure enough, there were some black Americans there that were guest speakers. And they did their sessions, and they left. And then I'll come and I'll do my session, and I'll leave. You know, everybody's, you know, shuttled, you know, with their armor bearers to the meetings, you know, so I had my own armor bearer and vehicles and whatever other help. And here was the last day. I'm coming in, and for the first time, I see these speakers. We cross paths. They go into their hotel, and I'm going to be speaking on this passage. I said, Lord, you said I'm supposed to do certain things before these people. They are leaving. He said, I told you not to tell anybody to come to your session. And generally, you don't tell people to come to your session anyway. So, you know, that would be rather weird. So I saw them leaving. I said, Lord, what do I do now? He said, do what I said. Speak. So I opened to this passage and I began to teach. I began to speak to the people about this issue with Africa and how our fathers had sold their children and why we must, as a people, repent for what our fathers did. Yes, the white man was to blame, but so also were our fathers. We need to repent. And I began to speak to the people. Unbeknownst to me, when they arrived at the hotel, when they dropped them at the hotel, the Lord told them, said, get back and go hear that young man. So they all got back into the vehicle and headed back. Now, during that time of them going down there and getting back on the vehicle and coming was the time God had made it possible for me to teach the word of God and get the people together into a spirit of agreement. You know, God has his amazing ways of working out details. When you don't know what God is doing, God is in charge and he knows exactly what he's doing all the time. So I'm getting to the end of the place where we needed to repent. And here comes all the speakers. The line sat in the front row. They cleared up the front row for them, moved people back, and they sat. And I recapped some of the things that I said within like 5-10 minutes. And I asked them, I said, I'm going to represent our fathers. And I'm going to repent for what our fathers did. Because the deal was, what was happening for the longest time was we were having all this brain drain. People that are doctors, PhD holders driving taxi. They left their country and were driving taxi. How does that make any sense? Our resources were being drained out. Not that that has stopped yet, but that was what was happening, and that deeply concerned us. So I said to them, I'd like to stand on behalf of our fathers and repent for what our fathers did. Because our fathers' sins have become our sins. So they came up. They said, we accept. We forgive. As soon as they said those words, that they forgave, the power of God hit them. I didn't touch anybody. These were guest speakers. These were powerful, anointed men and women of God. Power of God hit them. Poof! They dropped. They started convulsing like people that were demonized. And I'm confused at what was happening. I'm looking at them. I'm saying, God, what's going on here? He said, I'm delivering them from the pain that's been deep within them. I'm watching this. They're convulsing. They're coughing. You know, if it were today, we'll think they had a COVID-19 attack. And while I'm watching this, I heard the Lord speak. He said to me, he said, say, because of what has happened here today, blacks are going to rise up to high positions of prominence in the United States of America. Okay, that wasn't too scary. Of course, we're doing something here. And the next thing I heard me saying that caused me to hold my mouth figuratively was, and there shall be a black president. I said, oh my God, I've done it. Oh my God, what did I just say? Who said that? At this time, Bush Jr. was going to become president. In the year, I think he became president in 2001, January 2001. So this is November of 2000 that this is happening. And when he came to power and there were people like Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, all of them came to power with him. But you see, at that time I was thinking, okay, you know, this is exciting, but you know, that president thing, you know, that's maybe in 20 years, maybe 30 years, maybe 40 years, maybe 50 years from now. But I didn't know that God was doing something in Chicago. There was a young man in Chicago that was just a worker in the streets for the Democrats. One of the senators had elected not to run that particular year for the Democratic Party. And said, this guy's been working really hard, you know, put him in. So he started running and was doing very well. And the lady changed her mind, said, my seat back. He said, not on your life. I've been doing all this work. You're not getting this seat back. You can run against me if you want, but I'm staying. So she ran against him and she lost. And he wins. His name was Obama. 4 years later, he speaks at the Democratic Convention, and the people loved him. And when Bush Jr. was stepping out, Obama, the black man, was stepping in. There was a switch. Something happened. And every time I read this passage, I remember what happened. Now, I don't agree with everything Obama did. But God was bringing about a change, causing something that seemed so impossible, turning it around. And so Obama runs against Clinton. He's president of the United States. My phones are ringing. People, oh my, you said it in Kenya. I'm come to find out the guy's father comes from where? From Kenya. God strategically took me there to go declare a prophetic statement. And he had been working out those details. Because he said, I'm going to level out the playing field. Their minorities are going to rise up to prominence. And even now, the unknown ministers that you have never heard of, God is beginning to raise them up. There are going to be some that have been around, have been effective and powerful and anointed, and God has used them mightily, that God is going to shift out of the way. And new generals are rising up, even as we speak, because God is seated on the throne. Hallelujah. And I believe that during this season, this time of these 10 days, from the ascension to the day of Pentecost, that God is doing something extraordinary in the realm of the Spirit. Something that we don't understand, we don't even figure out, but He is doing it. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, and David, and the word David means beloved, a beloved one. Praise God. You know, it's amazing. He has such a wonderful name, David. And we'll talk about him some other time. David, the beloved. But the reality in his personal life growing up was that he was not the beloved. God has a strange way of naming you, and you will answer your name. Hallelujah. Beloved. But everything was contradicting his life. His father didn't even remember him when Samuel came to anoint the king. He brought everybody else to be anointed. This one is big enough. This one is strong enough. This one's really smart. And this is this and this and this and that. And so on and so forth. God said, no, not this one, not this one, not this one. And Samuel says, is there anyone else? Yeah, there's this little kid is way out over there. Go get him. This one kid, he stumbles all over himself. Strangely enough, in the secret place, this one that's stumbling all over himself, that seems to be no good for no good sake, is the one that's busy killing lions and bears with his bare hands. And maybe he came home and said, oh, look what I did. And he said, right, I got you, that lying fool. And Samuel says, is there somebody else? Is there somebody else? Yes, there is this kid. And they go get David. And David comes. And God says, this is the one. And he was anointed in the secret place. And nobody knew it. Because his coronation was going to be for another day. And even when Saul is dead, David, who'd been pursued left and right and center, David who'd killed Goliath, David who's done all these amazing things, is not even picked out by the land, the people of Israel, to make him king. They had other people. So even when the seat was open, he still did not get there until later. Are you with me so far? David. Sometimes things go contrary to what God has for you. But God never fails. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? It sounds like what happened to his own life. Is anyone else left? Is anybody else? Is anyone that's left of the house of Saul or Saul That name, Saul or Saul, means desired, because he was one that was desired. Desired of the people. And this one that was desired, when finally it was time to anoint him to be king, is busy hiding behind his stuff. They had to cast lots and to locate him and bring him out. But he was head and shoulders above everybody else. Is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? For Jonathan's sake. I want to bless somebody. My friend Jonathan, I had covenant relationship with Jonathan. Is there anybody? Everybody else is dead. Is there anybody that's left in the household of Saul? I want to bless them. I want to show them kindness. The hesed of God. The favor of God. I want to show them for Jonathan's sake. God has something to give. The name Jonathan simply means Jehovah has given. And so was Jonathan given to protect the beloved of God. They were so close. They had a love that was deeper than the love of men for women. Now, some people said that meant that they were homosexuals. Such a lie from the depths of hell. It just meant that these guys were really connected. Jonathan was from the house of Saul, was Saul's son, and he was doing everything to protect David against his father. He's the one who's supposed to be on the throne, but he understood, no, there's something about this young man. I think even though in the natural I'm supposed to be king, I think he's supposed to be. I'll do everything to protect him. May God send somebody to protect you. Because they see something about you that makes you qualify than they do for where you ought to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need Jonathans in our lives. And here's David. David says, is there anybody? Anybody? I want to do something for my friend Jonathan. Jonathan is dead, but I want to do something. He says, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. The name Ziba means statue, like a statue. He says, and when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. This son of Jonathan that was lame became lame, not because he was born lame. He was very healthy. But on the day that Saul was killed, and Jonathan was killed, the people in the palace felt like David is going to come and kill everybody. David is going to come and wipe us all off. And so this nurse grabs this young boy and starts to run. And while she was running, she fell. She dropped the child, and the child became lame from that day. Somebody was trying to protect somebody and drop the child. And so the Lord said to me, said, that's how your fathers dropped your children and they've become lame. So here's this young man. The Bible tells us, it says, the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machiah. Machiah means sold. Oh, God is so perfect. When he said, this is the passage I want you to preach from. And said the issue was slavery. Slavery is about being sold. He says, he's in the house of Machiah, the son, the house of the sold one, the son of Amiel. Strange thing, that word Amiel means, very simply, it means my kinsman is God. My relative is God. Oh, so you see the plot. My relative is God. My kinsman is God. My kinsman redeemer is God. The one who redeems me is God. The one I'm related to is God. But there's something here. He's sold. It's in the house of the sold. But he's a son of Amiel, and he's in Lodibar. Lodibar is a place without pasture, a pastureless place, a wilderness. We as the people of God have been in the same place. Our fathers, our teachers have dropped us because this church, the church of Jesus Christ, was born with great power. Great things happened in the early church. And in spite of all of that, the church has gone through different stages. Even when it came to the place where it was accepted as the acceptable religion on the Charlemagne, it was corrupted. The child was dropped. Prophetic words gone. The true teaching of the word gone. And here we were attached to idolatry. And so the main church, the Catholic Church, embraced idols and renamed them as saints. Days, festivals, born out of hell, out of the worship of idols, were embraced and accepted as holy days in the family of God. So we have things like Easter, instead of Resurrection Day, a worship of Ishtar. So we, instead of talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are busy looking for eggs. Rabbit eggs. Are you with me? Dropped. Instead of connecting with the Holy Spirit, we're consulting with fake devilish spirits. Dropped. But God is on the throne, and he will restore his church again. A church that is not stuck in ritualistic stuff, but birthed by the Spirit of the living God. Here is Mephibosheth, this young man's name is. He's dropped. He says, then the king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machiah. So I declare this day that we are called out, fetched out of the place of enslavement, Remove from the place of being sold. Remove from the place of the limitation that says that we belong to somebody else. We do not belong to anybody but to God Himself. We are the ones that God has given. Just like Jonathan gave birth to Mephibosheth, we are given birth to by the Spirit of the living God. Mephibosheth. He says, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. Oh, that name is an interesting name, Mephibosheth, because Mephibosheth means the one who exterminates the idol. The exterminator of idols. The exterminator of Baal. That's his name. But when you look at him, he's lame. But his name is the exterminator. Sounds like the man at the beautiful gate, 60 feet wide gate, made out of gold. But his own personal life was nothing like that beautiful gate. He has the name of the exterminator, and he's in Micaiah, in Lodibar. Sounds like the church. We've got all this power. We have the name of Jesus Christ. We are anointed to bring change to the world. We are anointed to reign as kings and priests in the world. And yet we are impoverished. We are defeated. We are limited. They even can open their mouth and shut the doors of the church down and say, you cannot gather. And we do exactly what they say. But the day is coming. And it's now. When the fear of God shall strike the hearts of men, and they will talk to the church first before they make their decisions they want to make. Is this okay if we do this? No, you cannot. Okay, sir. That day, it's not just coming, it is here. Hallelujah. Because there is going to be a mighty move of the Spirit of God that's coming upon the church of Jesus Christ that empowers the church, and it is known, it is clearly seen. These people that turned the world upside down, they have also come here. But this time, it is not going to stop. Hallelujah. This time, this mighty move of God is not going to stop. Because this is not going to be the work of a man. It's going to be the work of the Holy God. Hallelujah. So it was. They went and they got Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul. Bible says he brought him unto David. When he came to David, the Bible says he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said to Mephibosheth, and he answered. And David said, Mephibosheth. Exterminator of idols. And the other meaning of his name is the dispeller of shame. Dispeller of shame. And the Bible says, and he answered, behold thy servant. I wish he stopped there. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness, favor for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul. Excuse me. You're going to restore to me all the land of Saul? Everything that my grandfather had, everything, you're going to restore it to me? He said, yeah. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. From this day, I'm declaring you a prince. You won't sit at the same table with me. You're going to eat with me. But you know, when you stalk in a pattern and you're used to it, that becomes your default place. Sometimes we think that beating ourselves and humiliating ourselves equals humility. But that's pride. David had called him by his name, exterminator of idols, dispeller of shame. He says, yep. Like I said, I wish he stopped there and didn't continue. What does he do? The Bible says, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I am? A dead dog as I am. The dead dog. I'm calling you by your name. I'm saying that you are an exterminator and a dispeller of shame, an exterminator of idols, an exterminator of the spirit of Baal, and you're calling yourself a dead dog. God is saying to us today, I'm calling you my church, my empowered church, made capable to reach the world supernaturally. My reigning force in the earth. And you're calling yourself, who am I but a little worm? I'm a nobody. And God says, if that's what you say you are, that's what you say you are. And that's all you will always be. If there's anything we need to repent of, it is to repent of accepting the lies of this world, accepting this world, causing us to be poured into its mold rather than into the mold of who our God is. We being the sons of God, the manifestations of the Godhead in the earth. Because the Godhead lives inside of us. He said, I'm going to come. Jesus said, I'm going to come, and I and the Father, we're going to make our abode in you. We've not received that. He said, in that day, you're not going to have to ask me anything, because I'm giving you access to the Father. You'll ask the Father, and whatever you ask the Father, God, the Father is going to do for you. And we, oh God, if it be thy will. No, God says, whatever you ask. He didn't say, if it be thy will. He said, you think that's what you want? Here it is. God says that he will give to us his mind, that we have the mind of Christ. But we go about saying, I'm so confused, I don't know what to do. Mephibosheth, you're a dispeller of shame. Oh, what? Oh, poor me. I'm just a dead dog. Didn't even define himself as a living dog. A dead dog. And this is going to be a problem. The word of God goes on and says, then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat, But, I like this, but Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Excuse me? You think he's going to go get all, Ziba is going to collect all this food and bring it to the king's palace and go to the kitchen and cook it, you know, special food just for Mephibosheth and put it on the table? No. You're not bringing any food from anywhere to the king's table. The king provides the food that's on his table. But why? Why all this food? Why is he going to get all this? Oh, this is extra so that he can be a blessing, so that he can exterminate and remove shame out of the lives of men and women. God is about to resource his people financially in every realm so that you can become a conduit of blessing around the world. Somebody shout hallelujah. Extra, extra, extra. Breaking news. God is going to bless you and cause you to be a blessing. Yeah. That's what's on God's mind. Do everything and bring it. But Mephibosheth is still thinking of himself as a dead dog. And so every day he came and he ate at the king's table. When you came looking at the king's table, he was just like anybody else from here up. But underneath that table was a lame man. Lame because he had been dropped. But we serve a God who wants to heal us of our lameness. The mercies of God, the favor of God, is not for us to continue in our sin and in the defeat that we experienced while we were yet sinners. And on the top part, we look like sons of the living God. But beneath, in the secret, where it is not open to view, we're still lame, lame in our addictions, lame to pornography, lame to all kinds of immorality, lame to lying and cheating, lame to operating the spirit of pride, lame believing that we are not qualified to be at the table. And that can be a problem. Not qualified to be at the table. I'm not good enough. Well, the beloved David says you're good enough because you are a son of one that he covenanted with. Jehovah has given. You're a grandson to one that was desired. I desired for you. While we're yet sinners, Christ died. The godly for the ungodly. What God wants to do today is to remind us that he is the God who elevates. Hallelujah. He is the God who elevates. Let me put it this way to you. In our new places, we are going to have elevators. But let me put it this way. When you step into an elevator, do you elevate yourself or does the elevator elevate you? But for the elevator to elevate you, you got to engage it. Hallelujah. You got to tell it what floor you're going to. And it will take you to that floor. And according to your faith, that's how it's going to be to you. If you think that you can only go this far, God will take you to that far. If you think you can go all the way, then God will take you all the way. Listen to this statement. Listen to this statement. In verse 10. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway. 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 You know, it's so easy to just add an S. We understand that's what it's trying to say, always. But it's saying beyond always. It's saying all the way. All the way. Do you want to go all the way? Or are you going to get tired and wearied and be like me many years ago? Oh, Lord God Almighty, the foolish things we do and say. I was in India, and the Lord was moving mightily. He taught me that all I needed to do was to speak the word, and that he didn't need my prayers to heal the sick. And I obeyed, and of course he did what he needed to do. And that day there was a man, like a lame man, paralyzed. You know, I don't remember how many years now, but for years. He had been carried to those grounds. And here I had just finished preaching the word, and the Lord says, it's testimony time. I said, testimony time. I've not prayed for the sick. He said, I don't need your prayers. I said, what do you mean you don't need my prayers? I need to pray for the sick, and then they will get healed. He said, I don't need your prayers. It's testimony time. Testimony time. So I said, it's testimony time. And there's some movement behind me. I look. The pastors that were on the stage were grabbing their Bibles and they were going down. I'm saying, what are they doing? The Lord says, they think you're crazy. I said, what do you mean? He said, I don't think you're crazy, because I'm telling the Lord, you told me to do this. You've not prayed for the sick. It's testimony time. You told me to do this. And he said, I didn't say you're crazy. They're the ones saying that you're crazy. So now I'm looking at the audience, this mass body of people. I'm looking. Nobody's moving except for a guy that was about that angle to the end of the wall over there. I see this guy moving, and it's coming like this. I said, that guy better not be coming here. He better not be coming here. And I'm looking, and I'm talking. I am scared witless. I'm saying, oh my God, what have I done? You see the kind of trouble you've caused me today in this place. I'm trying to run off just like those guys. I'm trying to run off, and the guy is coming. But I am the preacher. I got to stay. So I'm saying, what has God done for you? Come and tell it. Only that one guy is moving. Jesus is Lord. So I comforted myself. I said, the ushers are going to stop him. But no, the next night, no, they're coming up with him, up the stairs. So I said, okay, maybe he was blind and now he can see. Maybe he was deaf and now he can hear. Let me just calm down, calm down, calm down, calm down. So he comes and I said, is that what did God do for you? I'm excited, you know, pretending, all scared. Exactly what did God do for you that caused you to come here today? What couldn't you do before that you can now do? And I was waiting for him to say, I was blind and now I can see. And but the guy goes like this, Jesus is Lord. Oh God. I turned to that interpreter. I said, I told you to ask him. So now I'm on the case of the interpreter. The guy said, I interpreted correctly what you said. I said, okay, tell him the same thing. What couldn't he do before that he can now do? The guy goes, Jesus, oh God. I looked at the audience, everybody, they're all staring at me. I'm staring at me. The Lord says, ask him to do it again. So I said, do it again. And he goes, and his hands go up a little bit higher. I said, do it again. His hands go up a little bit higher, and he jumps off a little bit higher. I said, tell me exactly what happened here. He said, I've been paralyzed for years. And when you said, it's testimony time, something said to me, get up and go. He said, so I got up. They carried me here. And now I'm excited. I said, do it again. And the guy's hands goes up. And he jumps higher. So we were both jumping on the stage. And I look, there's a lineup. Blind, deaf, crippled, all kinds of miracles. It was happening. We had a day session. People were getting healed. And I went home. I said to the Lord, I said, I don't want this healing anointing. Lord. I said, I don't want it. He said, why don't you want it? I said, there's too much pressure. They're expecting me to do miracles. Oh, how foolish we get. We think it's us. Let me tell you something, child of God. It's not about you. This is all about God. It is God who is going to heal the sick. It is God who is going to deliver. He said, open your mouth and I will fill it. God is going to use any man and any woman, any boy, any girl, anyone that will decide this day and say, God, you have brought me to this table. I cannot be lame anymore. What happened yesterday was yesterday, but today's a new day. Today's a new day. Today's a new day. Today's a new day. That bad marriage is not going to stop me. That bad financial situation, that bankruptcy is not going to stop me. Today's a new day. I failed yesterday, but today is a new day. I am not a dead dog. I am the living church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our connecting with God is going to bring about the supernatural. And it's our time, it's our season, not to look into the natural realm. Because when you look into the natural realm, you that have started walking at the word of the Lord will begin to sink like Peter did. Because he saw the storm, he saw the wind, the boisterous wind and the waves. And he forgot about the fact that he already asked Jesus, if it be you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. And now he'd been walking on the word of God on water. But he said, looking at his circumstance, The circumstance was there when you started walking, brother. The world doesn't have to change for us to shine. I don't know if you heard what I said. They don't have to change anything for us to shine. They don't have to write new legislations and all of a sudden become moral people in the decisions that they make for us to shine. We shine in spite of. We are the church in spite of. We are the people of God. That is what we must not forget. That's what we must never reject out of our lives. God says that we are dispellers of shame, and we will be what God says we are, dispellers of shame. Rise with me. The Bible says that Mephibosheth had a son. The name of the son was Micah. Micah. Micah means who is like God. Hallelujah. Who is like God. God. That name, Micah, who is like God, has two phases to it. Who is like God? And who is like God? If you understand, he is like God. This one, who is like God. That is the manifestation of his glory. That we will operate in the realm that God created us to operate in the first place. Adam was created in the image and likeness of God. He became God in the earth. And the devil wrestled it by deception out of his hand. And the devil that day stopped being just an angel that was cast out. He became the God of this world. Because Adam, who was the God of this world, had surrendered it. This time around, we are not going to surrender anything. Because the second Adam, the last Adam, from whose loins we have come out, it's a quickening fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a quickening spirit. And this day, in the name of Jesus, you and I are quickened to become godlike. Say with me, Father, I take my rightful place at the table by the anointing and the glory of your person. I declare this day that I will never again be lame. God, you who heals and restores the lame to health, restore me now. This day, I am not dependent on Ziba. I am not dependent on a statue. I am dependent on the Most High God. Oh, thank you, Father, that I am loved. And this day, you are elevating me by the glory, by your mercies, to be everything you have called me to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, I stand by your authority. I am redeemed by my kinsman redeemer. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, my kinsman is God. Oh, blessed be the name of the living God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. God is transforming our lives. Amen. Your seat, briefly. Mephibosheth. Bible tells us that David was dethroned by his son Absalom. Absalom was busy talking to the folks, talking to their hearing, and winning the hearts of the people to himself rather than to his father. And he comes and here's David running for his life. Ziba takes off and brings some groceries and stuff for King David. This is in chapter 16. Says David says, "What is this for?" He says, "This is to, you know, these two donkeys there for your guys, and all this food that I brought here, they're for you to take care of some of your servants and stuff like that, so that you guys are refreshed." And so David says, "And where's Mephibosheth?" Oh, he says, "Mephibosheth is in Jerusalem, and he says, this day shall the kingdom of my father be restored back to me." Okay? So David says, "Everything that I give to Mephibosheth now belongs to you." To me? Yes, it all belongs to you. You can have all of it. So what belonged to Mephibosheth is now turned over to Ziba. There's a guy called Shimei who's busy cursing at David. Long story, if the Lord lets me talk about those details, I'll talk about it. But it's something I want to talk about here. Anyhow, Absalom dies in a battle. God unravels him. He's caught up in his pride with the pride of his hair, caught up between heaven and earth, the Bible says, in a forest, caught up in some oak tree. David said, "Don't kill him. Protect my son." But Joab goes and make sure the man is dead. They kill him. They find a hole, dump his dead body in there, fill it with stones, and David is restored. Here comes Ziba's family. They bring groceries again. Mephibosheth finally gets to the king, and the king says, "Where were you?" He says, "My servant, my father's servant, Ziba, he deceived me. I was in the room and I told him I want to come be with you. And he said, just hang around. I'll go." He says, and the guy takes off. Ziba lied. The reason we know he lied is that the Bible says that Mephibosheth had not changed his clothes. His beard grew, or he was just a total mess. Not because he couldn't shave. He had his hands, he could shave. He could take care of those details. But he was so depressed because he's always been thinking like a dead dog. He defaulted to that place. I continued to say this, that story will not be our story. You're not going to end up like Mephibosheth that has been elevated, dropping back to nothingness. That is not our story. Hallelujah. When God elevates you, He elevates you. If you elevate yourself, you're going to come down. So the king says, okay, well, I already told him, I told Ziba that he can have everything. So now what we're going to do, we're going to split it. Ziba has half, you have half. Mephibosheth says, I don't want anything. Ziba can keep it all. It's just like us. Like us. You say, what do you mean like us? Take the whole world and give me Jesus. Eh? Take the whole world and give me Jesus. You already have Jesus. Take everything and use it to the glory of God. Take the whole world and give me Jesus. Shut your mouth already. I'm not singing that kind of foolish song or thinking that way. Oh, the world, they can take the whole world and just give me Jesus. Oh, be in Jesus. Jesus, our Lord, said, occupy till I come. He said, occupy. He didn't say, just occupy a little small area. As the waters cover the sea, so shall my glory fill the whole earth. Jesus did not come die for one segment of people. He came to die for the whole world. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. We are kingdom people. Amen? Hallelujah. Before there were aliens, we were here. So what do you mean? Because we come from Kog, kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's why you're an ambassador. So it's time to take our rightful place and become the ambassadors, the representatives of the Most High God, furnished and resourced from the kingdom of God. We are not depending on the natural systems. That's why when they said, listen, if you're not a church, government is giving money, take your money. I'm not talking about that. But if you're a church, don't take their money. Don't take their money. God provides for His people. Church members, you want to take their money? That's your decision. But that's not your source. Amen? Amen. What did I say? That's not your source. There is a supernatural realm that we can tap into. Hallelujah. But it's only according to your faith. If your faith is, government of Canada, government of the U.S., government of Nigeria, government of Kenya, government of whatever, please hand me some money. That's all you're going to get. Or you can trust God and say, God, you are my source, you're my provider, and your freezer will never be empty. And whatever it is that you need, you will have. Amen? So you want to drive from point A to point B, you need to buy gas. Well, I've driven the car. The reason I'm able to talk as boldly as I talk is because I've experienced God in those dimensions. So nobody can come tell me a story. I've lived it. Amen? I have lived it. I didn't read it in somebody's book. I lived it. The other day I drove to Suite 9285 Dufferin. Went to the parking lot. I looked at the place where I used to be, where they used to charge $200 and almost $300, and my rent was reduced to $19. Until I moved from that place. That doesn't happen. It's called favor. That was God. I don't know what God did. God just did what he did. But what I didn't tell you, and I've said this, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go home, is this. The time that miracle happened, my father had come to visit us. Remember I tell the story about how my father came to visit and we had no money, and Mama cooked from a can of creamed corn and a cup of rice, and that was the food I would never forget that better and tasted better than anything I've ever eaten. It was during that time my father went with me to the office, Manitoba Housing or whatever it is. He has no power to do anything there, but my father went with me. When I sat across and talked to the man seated across from me about my need, and the guy reduced my rent. You're supposed to pay 25% of your income, and there's a threshold. Everything got changed for my sake. You hearing me? I don't know how God does what God does, but I know God does what God does. And I'm saying to you, connect in faith. There's no government that has enough money to meet your needs without enslaving you. Don't buy into the foolishness of this world. Trust God. Your pastor, if I don't collect money from the government, how am I going to give my tithe and my offering? Did I tell you to come and give me your tithe and your offering from whatever? Think we're tithe and offering collectors here? God knows what he wants to do and how he's going to do what he needs to do. Yes, God uses his people to provide, but God is our provider. Amen? When I talk to you about giving, it's not because I'm here to collect something from you. I don't know how God is going to solve a problem, but I know this, he's always done it. Amen? He's always done it supernaturally in ways that I cannot explain. Like that. Bang, done. That's why I can mouth off. I can speak boldly. Because I know my papa is a good papa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Rise with me. Hallelujah. Put your hand in your head. Say with me, Lord, any mind that will sabotage your plan and your purpose for my life, as I take my hands off of my head right now, it leaves me permanently in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Remove it from your head. Hallelujah. Now, put your hand back on your head. Father, I am anointed to accomplish your perfect will. I am anointed to shatter strongholds. I am anointed to dispel shame. I am anointed to exterminate idols in the mighty name of Jesus. I receive supernatural impartation, supernatural abundance. I am divinely, supernaturally blessed. I am fruitful. I multiply. I am greatly increased. And I dominate in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Your anointing abides in me and with me. And now, Lord, your glory possesses me. Amen. 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 In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.